Chapter 3. During the early hours of a winter morning, I woke to the sounds of Mother thrashing about, Father running after her. The fear in his anger fed my terror. I strained to shut it out. Once the dark days began, though, they only worsened. They never got better. She'd pull off all the bed linens, crumple them up, haphazardly throw them into the laundry bin before changing beds she'd already changed the day before. By day's end, thoroughly exhausted, she'd surrender to the living room sofa, repeating, "You can't change nothing. So what's the use? Why look back? It doesn't matter anyways. Nothing matters. It's better not to look." I remained at her side, a silent witness, compelled to watch after her, wondering all the while where she was when her eyes lost focus. Was she recalling her father's departure for America, when he left, never having said goodbye to her or her younger siblings? Was she remembering the terrible years of the war and all the sacrifices made simply to survive? Was she mourning her father, whom she never again saw, or the death of her mother just before they were all to be reunited after years of separation? Is that where she went, during those times when there was no way to connect with her? When I'd dread going to sleep at night, anticipating the clamor that would awaken me? Mother pacing from room to room, frantically opening and slamming doors, spouting words in Russian, Yiddish, English. Even when I'd force myself to return to sleep, once the light of day entered the house, my sweet mother was still not with me. Again, I followed this ghost of a mother, never certain that my presence was felt, that I mattered, or that being there accomplished anything, but I couldn't let her go. In the years before I started kindergarten, I stayed at home with her during those bad times. Herbie took off for school, and Father went to work. Herbie would say, "See you later, kiddo. Take care." He'd hesitate.